All right. Hey, everybody. What's going on? Welcome back to episode 8 of Just Saying. You got Shyler here introducing us for the first time, and then you got...
I'm sick.
Julio over on the other end. You see, it's not so easy to get that intro down. It's timing. It takes a lot of practice, a lot of work. I put a lot of reps in getting that right.
It's a lot of timing.
It is, but we've got a lot to talk about today. There was a big game this past Sunday, if you haven't heard about it. Pretty big game. The Super Bowl, so we're going to react to that. Talk about our predictions. I was wrong. Julio was right. But we're going to get into that and a couple of other things today on this episode. So why don't we get right into it. Julio, I know you're sick, so you're a little low energy today. But
I'm going to pull through for you guys.
He's going to pull through. I want to know what you thought of the Super Bowl. Just real quick, 1 to 2 minutes, give me your quick reaction to everything that you saw that unfolded this past Sunday. What you see happening in the future for both teams. Whatever you want to talk about, get it out. Let's hear it.
All right, first and foremost, in case you're wondering about my voice, like I said, I'm very sick, so forgive me if this doesn't sound good to your ears. Why am I always phrasing things so weird?
But I think anyway, just a mental hurdle.
This is gonna be like my flu game. So, well, talk about the Super Bowl, Charlotte. I want to correct you. I think we were both wrong this time, because I also said that I thought the Chiefs were gonna win, and I underestimated Tom Brady. And okay. I think what most people underestimated was how important the offensive line, the starter, I forget his name right now, how important he was to that offensive line and how much that affected and how much the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, you know, Shaq Barrett, Ndamukong Suh, Pierre Paul, how those guys just came out, Davis. Those guys came out to ball and just didn't let Mahomes do anything. He was running the whole game. I don't know if you noticed that.
He was running for his life. Help!
The whole, like, from the get-go. Help! Now, I admit, I got a little bit nervous when the first possession the Buccaneers got, it was a 3-and-out. I was like, uh-oh, are they about to get exposed? But after that, it switched. Like, Tom Brady, did you see that picture on Twitter of him just sitting with his head down, and there was one of like him and the Patriots and one with him and the Bucks?
I did not.
So whenever you see Tom Brady in that sitting down like that, you need to be worried. And he just, I mean, who expected this? This was unbelievable. This is the first time I learned this. On the day of the Super Bowl, this is the first time Patrick Mahomes ever lost double digits.
I heard them talking about that in the broadcast towards the end of the game.
In his NFL career. That's crazy.
No, that's pretty unbelievable. That's pretty unbelievable for sure.
I don't know what to say, man. I'm shocked. I shouldn't be shocked because this is what Tom Brady does. He's been doing it for decades. And yet people are still shocked. I'm still shocked. But I wouldn't say I'm shocked that Tom Brady won. I'm more so shocked at how bad the Kansas City Chiefs got beat.
Okay. So I hear what you're saying. I agree with a lot of what you said. Two things I want to say right off the bat. The first is you said, after that first 3-and-out, you were getting a little worried. I wasn't worried. And let me tell you why. I mean, Tom Brady came down to Tampa Bay. You got Antonio Brown coming mid-season. He's not what he used to be, but he's still Antonio Brown. He demands, you know, a certain level of respect on the field. You had Leonard Fournette, a bruising running back, come down to Tampa Bay. Now, post-game, you've got Mike Evans talking about how he's willing to restructure his contract to keep the team together to go for another run next year. So shout-out to him being a team guy. But the team that the Buccaneers assembled in, you know, the last, I'd say, year or two, if they didn't win the Super Bowl, I think that would have been a problem. Do you remember, and Andrea was the one who brought this up, so I'll give her the credit, but do you remember a couple years ago when the Browns got OBJ and Jarvis Landry and Baker, and you know they had Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt just came to town, and they started, they had David and Njoku, and everyone's like, okay, like the Browns might be something, but then Brown's going to Brown. It took them another year or so to get it figured out. I think it's a similar thing. If the Buccaneers didn't do what they did this season, it would have been a major talking point. It would have been some conversations in the back office and the front office of the team. I think this offseason, had they not won the Super Bowl or made the playoffs, could look a lot different. So, I mean, I think it's expected that they made a run, but I don't think the way that they beat the Chiefs was expected. And just to jump off your point that they made during the broadcast, Patrick Mahomes, the first time in his NFL career that he hasn't been – or that he has lost by more than double digits. You know, first loss with more than 9 points, that's pretty unbelievable, especially in the NFL. What's more unbelievable is that through high school, college, and the NFL, this is the first time, high school, college, NFL, that Patrick Mahomes has not scored a touchdown on offense. The first time. That is unbelievable.
I mean, that's crazy. They didn't
score a touchdown. It really is. And you know what? I take nothing away from Patrick Mahomes. I think Patrick Mahomes is still going to be the future of this league. I still think he earned every bit of that contract that he got this past offseason. I think he deserves to own a baseball team the way that he does with the Kansas City Royals. He's got a share in that. I mean, this guy deserves everything he's got coming to him because he was, like you said, running for his life. I mean, the second the ball was snapped, it seemed like he had not one, not two, three defensive linemen, linebackers, a safety getting blitzed, whoever it may be, right on his. I mean, there's no way that any quarterback could survive the way that he did. I mean, you saw back-to-back plays in the fourth quarter, one where he rolled out to the left, did two 360s, and then just flicked it perfectly to the back corner of the end zone, and it was in his receiver's hands.
Was that the one where he threw it and he was practically on the ground already?
No, that's the that was the next play where he rolled out to the right and was sideways and still perfect bullet pass right through the receiver's hands in the end zone, and it bounced off his hands. So back-to-back, the first one was to the back left corner of the end zone. Right after that, the play broke up again almost immediately. He scrambled for his life. I mean, the dude played his heart out. And you could see that he was holding back tears towards the end of that game because I don't think he'll admit it, but he knew that he showed up to win a Super Bowl on Sunday and no one else on the Kansas City Chiefs did. No one else. I mean, the defense was committing silly, silly mistakes. They were getting penalized. Seemed like every other play at one point in the game. And, you know, some of them are kind of questionable, but a lot of them were legitimate penalties. I mean, right at the beginning of the game, Tony Romo made a comment. He said, look, there's that defensive holding. That's just how the Chiefs' defensive backs play defense. I'm sorry, that's not how you play defense in the NFL. That's a penalty. You're going to get called for that, and you're going to suffer. And their team suffered. They had over 100 yards in penalties, I think, by just after the first half. I mean,
a lot of people were complaining about the calls. I'm one who, listen, as a Boston Celtics fan, you get to complain about the refs a lot. But I know at some point, there were some tacky calls. But
quite a few.
See, I don't know if it was quite a few. I'd say maybe two or three definitely that were, you know, whatever. You could have not called it and I would have been fine with it.
I think, but, not to cut you off. I think the perfect example of that is the, unsportsmanlike conduct at the end of the game on Tyrann Mathieu with Tom Brady chirping in his ear. Tom Brady's talking, you know, right in his ear. Tyrann Mathieu says something back. Who knows what it is? But Tyrann Mathieu gets the penalty after Tom Brady had for a few seconds.
No, Tyrann Mathieu got the penalty because he was pointing at him.
All right, but I mean, he put one finger up and it was in his face. He wasn't pointing. For all we know, I guarantee it wasn't. Bro, I guarantee it wasn't. Man? But for all we know, he could have been like, man, Tom, you are number one. I mean, we don't know. I doubt it, but you can't call that in the Super Bowl. The way that game was being played, I mean, that's almost twisting the knife while it's already in the Chiefs' heart. And I will say, I think the Chiefs lost that game. I do not think that the Buccaneers won it.
Are you insane?
No, I'm dead serious. The offensive line for the Chiefs could not block for their life. The wide receivers for the Chiefs could not catch a ball. The running backs couldn't get going. The defense, like I said, they were committing all these penalties. It was mistake after mistake after mistake and a lack of execution. The Buccaneers certainly played well, and they capitalized on that lack of execution.
They played better.
They played better, but that doesn't mean that the Chiefs didn't lose themselves that game. I think the Chiefs were better equipped and better prepared for that game. And they simply showed up flat. They weren't ready to play in the Super Bowl.
How can they be better prepared when they had their offense was non-existent the whole game?
I agree. But what I'm saying is that's not typical of the Chiefs' offense. I mean, we know what the Chiefs' offense is all about, and that wasn't it. That was a lack of execution, a lack of preparation.
Exactly. The better team won, period. They could have got no calls in the first half. The Bucs would have still won this game.
Right, but what that's not the point I'm making. I'm saying the Chiefs played poorly in all aspects of the game. They played poorly in areas where they usually thrive. Offensive line blocking, for example. Big plays. Getting the running game going. Solid defense, even though the offense can score as many points as they need to. I mean, the defense can get it done. And nothing, no one on that team, other than it seemed like the punter, who also messed up a couple times, and Patrick Mahomes showed up to play that game.
This is all pointing back to the point I made. The Chiefs, they didn't. You could say, okay, they lost the game, but even if they did what they usually do, I didn't see opportunities for them to score more than 30 points in that game.
See, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs can put up 30 points in one half if they need to. You didn't see those chances because.
But it wasn't really like. It wasn't really like missed throws. Like it was, there was that one where he hit the dude in the chest in the end zone, and he didn't grab that. But like that's the only play I remember.
Right, but that's what I'm saying is it wasn't missed throws. Patrick Mahomes was on his A game. He was hitting his
receiver. It was just that one throw. It was just that one throw. There weren't. Did you see any other potential touchdown throws in that game?
Quite a few, and not only potential touchdown throws, but just first downs. I mean,
name one other one. Name one other situation where he could have thrown a touchdown pass.
I'll give you two. The two passes in the fourth quarter. One where he rolled out left that I talked about earlier and hit the corner of the end zone, dropped by a receiver in his hands. And then he rolled out right, was laying on his side, and threw a perfect pass to an open wide receiver. And there were three defenders on him, but the ball hit his hands and bounced off of them. No one broke up that pass.
All this being said, though, I'm going to go out on a limb here and predict Kansas City Chiefs win Super Bowl next year.
I think that there's a chance that they do simply because of Patrick Mahomes. If he was not the quarterback of that team, I wouldn't be surprised if they turned into another Atlanta Falcons where they played Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, they broke, and they never were the same again. And their running back got arthritis.
I'm not saying there's a good chance. I'm saying they will win the Super Bowl next year.
So you really think that the Chiefs are going to do it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know me, as a true Pittsburgh Steelers fan, anything less than the Super Bowl is a failure of a season, so I have to roll with Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's not going to the Super Bowl anytime soon, Chandler.
All right, but if they do,
oh my goodness,
then my take will be right. Because even though I'm wrong, I could have been right. So I'm kind of still right because
what? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
I'm just, you know what? I could have been right. I'm going to roll with it. Pittsburgh Steelers, Super Bowl 1 year from now. Let's get it going.
Do you even know if Big Ben is coming back?
I don't need to know if Big Ben is coming back. That defense, elite. Big Ben is already talking about taking a pay cut to keep the team together.
That doesn't matter.
Speaking of pay cuts, we talked a lot about the Super Bowl. You mentioned bringing up a new segment. You want to introduce what it's called real quick?
It's called Who Cares? Basically, what we're going to do is we're just going to spitball a few things that happen in the news and sports world. And we're just going to quickly, in a few seconds, give our opinion if we care or if we don't care.
All right. So I want to get that segment started with someone whose career and legacy has earned, earned the opportunity to kick off an incredible segment like this. Drew Brees taking a pay cut from 25 plus million. I don't know the exact numbers, but I want to say 20, 25 plus million to, I think, the veteran league minimum to do everything that he can to keep the Saints together. Now, whether he's going to take this year and kind of take a step back and let Taysom Hill develop, whether it's going to be Jameis Winston's team, whether it's still going to be Drew Brees, he's going to be balling on a budget. What do you think about that?
I think Drew Brees was smart to take the pay cut because I don't know if he even has a year left in the tank after this season. I thought he was going to retire by the looks of it after the game with the Bucks. But it's good to hear he's coming back. I'd say we've seen the last of Drew Brees.
All right. I have to agree with you. While you were talking there, I was listening, but I also looked up the details. So $25 million to $1.075 million. 20 seasons in the NFL. I mean, my goodness, not very many people can say that they've made it two decades in the NFL. I think you're right. I think that this reduction in salary is a way for him to keep playing football because it seems like that's what he wants to do. And whether he wants to do it for himself or whether he wants to do it to help the rest of the team develop and stay competitive for the long term, I think the only way he makes that happen and makes it so that he can retire with the team that he saw the most success with is to take this pay cut. And I respect him for it. Like I just said a few minutes ago, Big Ben is in talks with the Steelers about doing something similar because at a certain point, you've got enough money. You know? At a certain point, you've got enough money and it becomes more about your legacy and what you're leaving behind. So shout out to Drew Brees for paving that path.
Right. I'm going to hit you with one. What do you think about Britt Reid, Andy Reid's son, coach on the Chiefs, put on leave? Apparently, he was allegedly caught drinking and driving, got into an accident, which resulted in, it looks like somebody hurt. I'm not sure the extent of the injuries, but what do you think about that?
Yeah, so it's... I believe it was two kids that got hurt. One of them, a little girl, I believe, was in more critical condition than she should be. Inexcusable. Absolutely inexcusable. At this day and age, I mean, we all know the dangers of drinking and driving. I feel like everybody, you know, has a story of someone they know who was affected by it somehow. I mean, I remember when I was in high school, we had someone, she was, you know, a sophomore, maybe a junior in high school, with a few friends. They were on a school soccer trip, and they were driving down somewhere, I want to say maybe Virginia, and a drunk driver hit him. And unfortunately, one of those girls in the car didn't make it home. Her siblings were still in the school, and that was tough. That was really tough to see. Inexcusable. At this point, you have to know better. You have to do better. You're in a position, especially as an NFL coach, the son of an NFL coach. You've got the money to get yourself an Uber, a driver, whatever you need to do. The wherewithal to tell a friend to not have a couple drinks so that he can drive you home. Inexcusable. Absolutely inexcusable and very sad, very, very sad for the family of those children who were hurt.
Yeah, I just hope that, you know, his position doesn't affect, you know, it, whatever consequences come from that. I know a lot of times if you have money, you have the connections, a lot of times you get away from things like this with a slap on the wrist. I hope that doesn't happen. And I hope the whatever children were hurt in the accident get better and they get themselves a nice paycheck for it. Not that, you know, that's how I would want them to get that paycheck, but get their college loans paid off, you know, wouldn't be bad for this. It would be the best outcome of a bad situation.
No, I hear you. I mean, T's and P's to those who got hurt, T's and P's to their family. I think we got time for one more headline. And this isn't really a headline. This is a tweet that I saw earlier today. And it's a tweet from Tariq Cohen, running back for the Chicago Bears, rumored to be traded to Philly because the Bears may want to be going after Carson Wentz, one of the only teams in this league that I think stupid enough to go after a bum quarterback with a massive contract would be the Chicago Bears, so shout out to them. But this tweet from Tariq Cohen, quote unquote, "Do y'all eat banana mayonnaise sandwiches? They are bomb." That's the tweet. Banana mayonnaise sandwiches. Julio, I gotta hear what you think.
I'm intrigued. I've never tried it, but for you to go out in public and endorse something like that sounds so disgusting and disturbing, it makes me think, are they good? I'm willing to try it.
All right, I hear what you're saying. Why do you think you're willing to try it?
Because I don't think anyone would endorse something that sounds so gross unless they really, you know, stood by the fact that this tastes good.
All right.
I don't know what situation you're in that you make a banana and mayonnaise sandwich. Like, you don't have ham and cheese? Or...
All right, Julio, now, while I tell you what I think about this tweet, it's not pretty, what I think about this tweet. If you have bread, a banana, and some mayonnaise, while I'm talking about my thoughts, I'd love for you to make one, try it right here, and let the world know what you think.
You want me to make a banana and mayonnaise sandwich right now?
Right now.
Oh my goodness.
So bring your equipment with you. You'll make it. I'm gonna give you my thoughts on that tweet while you're making it. And then I'm really curious to see what you think, because Lord knows I'm not trying it. Oh, Andrea's next to me telling me that I have to try it. So it sounds like while I'm talking about this, she's going to make me one too. For what it's worth, I hate mayonnaise.
All right. I gotta try it. And I don't know how long is it going to take me. How long does it take to prepare a sandwich like this?
I mean, bread, mayonnaise, banana, mayonnaise, bread. It should be pretty quick.
All right. All I have is wheat bread, and I'm sick. I'm kind of at an advantage here because I can't really taste it.
And I, like I said, I hate mayonnaise.
I think I'm going to win this one.
I don't think there's something to win here. I think we're both going to end up the loser. Which leads me to my point. I mean, my first thought after reading this tweet in my head was, his next tweet better just say hacked. I mean, there is no way that a human being on this earth can think, bread, mayonnaise, banana. Yeah, good combo. I want that. I mean, what's the universal cooking method that makes everything delicious? Deep frying. I would not try a sandwich like this deep fried. It's
not good deep fried.
No, it does not. And Julio, I mean, we're recording this in different parts of Massachusetts, different cities. Staying socially distant with COVID and everything, but your congestion and sickness, I don't know if you could hear it change in my just in my talking throughout this episode. I am starting to get a little congested, so I'm going to say that you got me sick. Luckily, you think it's not COVID. Hopefully, you get tested, taking care of that. But man, how did you get me sick over Zoom?
Well, just don't try to call out of work. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to go well.
Oh, don't worry. I'll be there on Friday. All right. I got my mayonnaise and banana sandwich here.
Already made?
Yeah. Andrea made it for me real quick. Looks like it's on sourdough bread.
How fast? He shouldn't be that quick at making sandwiches. Alright, I got my ingredients here. I still gotta make my own.
You should have the ingredients.
You can go ahead and do your taste.
Oh no, we're gonna do it at the same time because I'm not sure I can hold it back, and I'm curious to see your thoughts. So while we're waiting, I'm just gonna bring up one more topic, one more headline.
I'm gonna spitball one to you, man.
Okay.
Seahawks Russell Wilson sounds off on how many hits he's taken.
So I was gonna bring up the same topic. I think it's justified. I think Russell Wilson has given, you know, all of himself to that city, to that organization since the day he got drafted. I found this out very recently. I don't know if you know this. It was during the NFL awards show on Saturday night. Russell Wilson came out and he said right after he got drafted, within that first week, he went to the local hospital in Seattle and he asked if it would be all right for him to come maybe once a week. Every Tuesday, he said, would work for him. Because he felt
what?
Because he wanted to go to the hospital because he felt that it was important for him to show his face on the hospital, try to bring a little bit of cheer, you know, try to do his part to help out the community, the kids, anybody who just needs their spirits lifted while they're, you know, dealing with something difficult at the hospital. So I respect Russell Wilson for from day one immediately, you know, giving his heart to the city of Seattle. Funny enough, when he did show up to the hospital that first week and said, you know, can I come once a week? The person that he spoke with said, "I'm sorry, who are you? Who are you?" So to see Russell Wilson say that he's frustrated with all the hits that he's taken, I think it's justified. He's been with the team for quite a while. They've had the opportunity to build out their offensive line to try to protect him as he gets older. I think you see something similar to what you saw with Big Ben. I mean, with Ben Roethlisberger earlier in his career, he took, I think his first 12 seasons, he took close to 500 sacks. That's not counting QB hits and knockdowns. That's just sacks. So, you know, towards the latter portion of his career, they realized, hey, we got a guy here. We should protect him. And the Seahawks should be doing the same thing. I mean, they're risking Russell Wilson's longevity, his career, his checkbook. What do you think?
So that's kind of who he is, I think, right? Like, he's one of those Russian, it's a different playing style than Ben Roethlisberger, but I was looking at the stats. 390-something times he's been sacked. That's the most of any quarterback since they merged the AFL to the NFL.
See, now that's absurd. If you have a guy with his level of talent who, I mean, he had a different playing style than Ben Roethlisberger, but I mean, Russell Wilson will stay in the pocket and he'll sling it. He's a little more athletic and can get out of a lot of it, but geez, I mean, you got a guy with that talent. You got to protect him, right?
Yeah, he's definitely he wanted to have some say in the personnel decisions. I agree with that. I mean, he's a franchise quarterback, probably the best player on the Seahawks. I definitely would give him an opportunity, you know, to have some say-so in who they bring in. And I'm going to throw you this last one. My sandwich is ready, by the way. So we can bite into those, and as you're giving me your reaction, I also want to hear what you think about the Mavs not playing the national anthem anymore at any of their games at Mark Cuban's direction.
So I think it's interesting. I think it's important to point out. You put me on the spot with this one, but a little random fact that I knew: the inception of the national anthem at sporting events. I don't know which sporting event. Came about during, I want to say, World War II to try to bring morale and support to the troops overseas. So, you know, just kind of one of those that started and never stopped. So I've never really understood until I learned that anyway. I never really understood the point of playing the national anthem. I mean, we're all American teams here playing in these leagues that we talk about. But, you know, there are a lot of international players who come from other parts of the world to share their talents and their ability, their athletic intelligence, and to play the American national anthem. I mean, while it's, you know, maybe shows that we're all here in it together or whatever it may be, you know, it also takes away from some of these other places that these other people are from. I mean, take baseball. I mean, how many members of the Major League Baseball are Hispanic. I mean, it makes up a huge population of the league. And yeah, I'm sure a lot of them grew up without the national anthem, and it doesn't hold the meaning to them that it does to us. So, you know, to kind of exclude their heritage, their history, their culture, it seems a little old school.
Yeah, I never really got it either. Another thing I don't get, why did we used to have to do it every day before school?
That was that we did the Pledge of Allegiance. That, thinking back, seems like some cult.
Plain and simple. It doesn't really make sense. Like, we're at school. What does it have to do with anything?
I know. It's unbelievable.
It must be like stuff that was left over from the Cold War, probably.
All right, Julio, I don't know about you, but I can't look at this thing any longer. I just got to get it out of the way.
I'm enjoying this sandwich.
Have you already tried it?
I've been eating mine for the past, 2 minutes.
I just took one bite. I got to say, not as bad as I expected.
Not bad, right?
But
that is not bad.
But I'm not sure that I'm going to take another bite. In fact, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to take another bite.
I'm going to finish it, but I'm never going to make one just because I'm hungry. But I'm going to finish mine.
No, I hate to waste food. So I don't know if Oakley, if the pup can have bananas or mayonnaise. I don't think she can.
It's a dog, man. It can eat anything.
No. She can't eat grapes or chocolate. There's a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh, please. What if she was the wild?
All right, you heard it here first, everybody. Julio, the puppy killer.
All right, chocolate, I understand.
Last one.
What do you think about University of North Carolina celebrating their win over Duke maskless? Yeah. Maskgate is what they're calling it.
I think it's selfish.
Yeah, that's a doubt.
I think it's selfish. I think they're a college team. At the end of the day, they are going to go back to school with a campus full of other people. They're going to be around other people that they could potentially expose if anyone on the team didn't have COVID. It goes back to the World Series thing, when a lot of them were celebrating maskless. And not only that, but one member of the celebration went to the locker room mid-game because he tested positive for COVID, and then came back out and sat and posed for pictures and celebrated with the team. I mean, I understand it. It's what you've worked for your entire life. You deserve to celebrate, but that celebration can't be put above the health and safety of those around you. It simply can't. So I think it was selfish of the team, and I think that the NCAA might need to intervene and impose some kind of punishment or something like that to send a message to the rest of the league or the rest of the NCAA.
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching the video now, and wow, I'm thinking right now is, man, COVID.
Left and right.
Oh, man, this looks bad. Did you watch the video?
No, I didn't watch the video. It's upsetting to think about. I know it's just going to frustrate me to watch.
There's got to be some transmission going on here.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I think that's a good point to wrap it. I think everyone should remember, wear your mask. If you're sick, stay home. Get tested if you feel like you need to. Don't go to parties. Don't celebrate with large groups of people. Don't blow on the birthday cake.
There you go. We need a you instead of Fauci.
Maybe, but man, we gotta nip this thing in the bud. We gotta get past it. I think everybody's ready to get back to normal, and we simply can't do it until the threat has been, eliminated. So everybody, do your part, do the right thing, do it for yourself, your loved ones, your friends, your family, your neighbors, your enemy, everybody, because something we gotta work together to beat. So. This was episode 8 of Just Saying. Julio, any final words?
It could have been us, Bill. You just couldn't pull it together.
No, it couldn't have been. The Patriots run, their dynasty is over.
We'll be back.
So I'm not going to give this any more airtime. I'm just going to have to talk over Julio if he continues. Thank you for watching. Like, comment.
Why, Bill?
Bye. Listen, like, comment, subscribe. I'm new to this. That was Just Saying. Follow us on Twitter. JUSSAYIN is the Twitter handle. Got that right the first time, Julio. Thank you for listening. See you all next week.